Moncrief on News Talk.
Declan and Barbara join us once again. Good afternoon to you both.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
After your trials struggling into the city.
It was.
Yeah. It was a bit soggy out there as well. Like, yeah. I'm sure people are all panicking. The they're all driving their cars.
I think it's only we're in on the East Coast anyway. So no one else in the country cares.
Oh right. Fair enough. Well, we have a yellow rain warning. But I mean, it's not raining that much.
Which is the best sort. It was raining in Cork yesterday.
Was it? They told me you were in Cork.
Oh, yeah, right, they told me.
Okay.
I saw it for myself with my own eyes.
Doesn't rain much in Cork. Cork is a
fascinating stuff. Here's the first question. About 2 years ago, I had to go through some pretty intense surgery after battling health issues for 18 months. I also had a parent who was diagnosed with non-curable cancer. Last year, my mental health took a real nosedive and it's been tough, especially since I don't have a strong support network nearby. Most of my friends and family are far away. When my husband became friends with a woman who lives locally and has a son the same age as ours, I thought it was a good thing. I was glad my son had a playmate and it gave me some time to myself, which I desperately needed as I was struggling to cope. But over time, I started to feel uneasy. They would hang out when I wasn't home and I began to suspect there was more going on between them. I ended up installing a hidden camera. And one evening, I heard my husband telling our son and his friend to stay downstairs while he and the woman went upstairs to clean the room. My husband then came down 50 minutes later and she did a few minutes after that. My husband swears nothing happened, but he's lied before and it's hard to believe him now. Our relationship feels like it's hanging by a thread and we fight all the time. I'm just so hurt and confused. I wanted to ask you all, can you understand why I might think something did happen? I just feel so broken by everything. My health, my very ill parent and my relationship. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Crikey.
Yeah, gosh. Well, the first thing I suppose is to say that, like, I'm sorry to hear that this person has been going through what does sound like a really tough time, and I hope that her physical recovery is going well. Having a seriously ill parent is also like very, very difficult. Mm. So, I mean, she has recognised herself that she's been under a lot of stress. She mentions that her mental health took a real nosedive, and I think all of that is really important because I think sometimes, when you're under that kind of stress and when life takes a turn like that, that's kind of dark, it can skew your judgment of things sometimes. So, even though what she has recounted to us, the story about the husband saying to this new female friend, like, we're going upstairs to clean the room, it does sound, that sounds a bit damning.
Dubious.
All right.
Yeah.
To put it mildly, yes. Yeah.
But what I would think that this woman needs to do first is park, and I know this is easier said than done, but just kind of, if she can at all, kind of park the relationship issues just for the moment and concentrate on herself. And I would say that perhaps she could benefit from some counselling to help her to deal with what she's been through and perhaps is continuing to go through in relation to her parent. She also mentions the fact that she doesn't have a close support system around her of family and friends around her. So therefore, I think that counselling would be something that would be very, very useful. I mean, you know, I think very few of us go through life without ever needing to talk to somebody professionally about stuff. I think, you know, I think it's a very useful thing to do. And so I would definitely recommend that she do that.
Yeah.
And give that her priority. Once she kind of has done that, hopefully, and feels a little bit stronger mentally, then I think perhaps, yes, maybe her, you know, she needs to kind of have a look at the relationship. She did mention that he's lied before. So, we don't know what that means. What did he lie about before? Does she suspect that he has had another affair before this? Or is it just kind of little white lies that we all tell our partners every so often? But I think, try and get yourself into a stronger place mentally first and then deal with the relationship, which may also involve a degree of counselling as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the thing that struck me in this one was the way the question was phrased was, can you understand why I might think something did happen? There's such a sense of uncertainty and doubt coming from this letter writer that they don't, they're not really sure of themselves.
Yeah.
And,
you know, when you go through an illness where your own kind of mortality is threatened, that's very destabilizing. If one of your parents, you know, who since you're a child has been, you know, a fountain of all support and certainty, you know, their mortality is threatened as well. Another, you know, leg on which of the foundations of your stability of your life kicked away.
Yeah.
And then if the relationship with your partner is also seeming to be kind of shaky as well, that's a lot of instability and uncertainty. So I can understand why, you know, in processing one thing, which is, you know, what's going on with this man and this woman in this, in our house, not being able to rationally deal with that because there's so much kind of uncertainty going on in her mind. I don't know whether you can quite simply just push one problem to the side while you deal with everything else.
Yeah.
I feel that actually seeing it holistically and going, I'm going through this kind of tumultuous thing, a lot of it is affecting the way I'm seeing the world.
Yeah.
And maybe it means that I'm, because there is that doubt in her
in
mind.
Her mind
what am I seeing? What am I? There was enough doubt in her mind already for her to install a camera in the house, which speaks volumes to me about a lack of trust. And those, when you get to that stage in a relationship, you know, you're at a danger point already. So whether or not that's because of sort of something that's happening in mental health, or whether that's because of something that's happening with, you know, evidentiary behavior from your partner, I don't know. But I do know that when you're in that situation, there's a lot going on. So finding somebody to talk to, getting your support structures, the people that you can trust around you as fast as possible, is the first thing that this person needs to do. And whether that needs to be somebody in a professional capacity, or whether that's your bestie or your sister or your mom or whatever it is, go to them, find them, and don't be having this conversation on your own in your head, because that's where spiraling starts, and that's not going to give you the answers. Mm. But it's, I just felt really sad after I read that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it sounds like she only, part of her motivation for writing in was just to say, do you think I'm not going mad.
Yeah, I got that exact thing.
And that's why I'm saying that, you know, it doesn't matter what your concern or your fear is, or what's taking up your brain space. Often the easiest way to take that pressure away is to speak to somebody about it.
That's it.
You know, saying it. Like on Teddy Bingo, I often have the player about to come on the program is panicking, they're spiraling, they're going on, you know, every thought is going to their head. I'm not going to win enough money. I'm going to make a big Egypt in front of all the other ladies at the bingo. But once they verbalize that, the fact that they're
nervous,
the nervous dissipates really quick. The nervousness dissipates really quickly, because once you name your fear, or once you speak to somebody else about it, it does take away some of that kind of mental power.
I think that's what I meant by when I said that maybe, you know, just prioritize yourself first and getting yourself into a headspace that's a little stronger, because I think, as you said, that you both said, that she suspects that she's not judging this entirely correctly. You know, I mean, the question that she asked was that, you know, do we understand why she might think something did happen? So I think that was really why I thought maybe just get yourself first of all. And go and seek some professional counselling.
Because if you've been weakened by illness or by, you know, mental health issues or whatever, you can often be easily what's the word I'm looking for? Manipulated by other people's kind of things.
And I don't want to say that's going on.
I don't want to say that specifically, but now that the word is in the room. It does sound like gaslighting. It does. No, nothing ever happened. And it's like, okay, well then,
what room were you tied to?
In whose world is that a normal thing to do, you know?
Yeah, but in whose world is it normal to install a hidden camera anyway?
That's where I'm going. There's obviously a lot of denial going on as to what's actually happening in their relationship. And maybe either both of them need to go to speak to somebody together to talk about their relationship, or she needs to go to talk to somebody, whether it's a really good friend that she trusts or it's a professional, talk about all of it, everything that's going
through
her head.
Or both, really. Yeah, exactly. Herself first and then get the husband in or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I imagine all those things are connected.
Yeah, everything. Yeah, like I said at the beginning, if you're ill, everything about you, your mind is not able to deal with kind of the minutia of daily life if you're worried about the big kind of scary things.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Now, there's a lot of comment on this.
Okay.
You know what? A lot of I'm not going to read out just because it's so easy to be definitive from a distance when you don't know the people and you don't know the specific circumstances. Though somebody did text in to ask, was the room actually cleaned? He could be telling the truth. Other women are good at helping out with the cleaning rooms. I didn't know that. Jerome in Cork says, men and women cannot be just friends. Question mark.
Men,
question mark. Question mark. So I don't know.
It's like it's on the leaving cert now.
Yeah, it is on the leaving cert. So like, do you find that? Pressure. Declan, when you're friends with a woman, you just want to ride them eventually.
I know, exactly. It's outrageous, isn't it? I just can't help myself. I don't agree with that at all. I think there are definitely a certain kind of man and a certain kind of woman that can't be friends. But I think the majority of men and women can be friends.
You can be friends. Of course you can. Yeah. That's nonsense.
Yeah. We're having issues with one of my housemates. There's a list as long as my arm, but the latest is that he refuses to pay towards household expenses. He pays his share of the bills, but any communal items we need, he just turns a blind eye to the expenses and seemingly thinks these things replenish themselves. We're constantly buying washing up liquid, soap, toilet robe and the likes when he never does it. I recently put a message in the WhatsApp group before I went on a night shift saying that we were out of toilet roll and asking could someone buy it. I came back to nothing bought. My other two housemates aren't a problem and generally it's even between the three of us in terms of buying things. To make matters worse, the scabby housemate even made a joke about me being annoyed about the toilet roll situation after none was bought. So he's aware of his actions. I'm at my wit's end with him. He seems to be used to people cleaning up and looking after him, so he just expects the same from us. We've started hiding the toilet rolls in our rooms, but other than that, what can we do? So obviously they're living with a 14-year-old.
What's
he using if they're all using their own toilet? What's he using if he won't buy his own toilet paper? What's going on? Because people don't buy newspapers anymore.
That's true.
That reminds
me, that was when I was in college. In the 1980s, there were a lot of people living together. And I mean, you can imagine the trashy student houses, what they were like. And everybody was broke. So there was always these kind of dramas over who was paying for stuff and whatever. I wasn't living there, but my friends were. And the same kind of thing came up where, you know, the toilet roll, you know, the precious toilet roll. Where is my precious? So this kind of thing happened that people would be like, practically installing safes in their bedrooms for the toilet roll. You can't get the drunk. But then, exactly the point that you made, Barbara, is that they were going, but if they're not stealing the toilet paper, what are they using? And then you'd be kind of going, I don't even want to wash my hands in that place. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
So yeah, really gross. But it's really horrible.
Wow, this guy really has them over a barrel now, doesn't he? Yeah.
But it's that thing, like it is that thing of over a barrel because...
You'd be afraid to handle the door handle or anything.
He mightn't be a hand washer anyway.
And it just goes to show, when you're in a situation, when you're living with people, if you can't, kind of agree how the running of the household is going to work together collectively, it's very easy for one person to just disrupt the situation by just being like, you know, what's it, the Security Council veto on everything. They're just going, no, I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. And the only outcome then is either to bring them around to your way of thinking or to, what's it, exclude them from the future of the household in some way, get them off.
Get them out.
Yeah.
Because if they're not recognising, if they're too stupid or too childish or too selfish to recognise that their behaviour has an impact in some way, whether it's economic or even emotional, then they're not people that you want in your zone. And I think, like, if you've already had a conversation about this is what is going on, some people approach it very kind of naggy, and that's kind of the reaction to that is to be a bit whatever.
I'm not doing that.
But that kind of stuff can often be resolved by just like a little bit of a negotiation and agreeing the way in which you're going to communicate with each other over stuff, but not understanding what the basic requirements are
for
how you're going to live together
and
is
hygiene.
A deal breaker.
It's hygiene. But why, surely, in this situation like this, and I know this would have been easier when we used cash, surely a kitty is the obvious answer. You know, that you pay half, that you divide your bills in however many of you there are. But for consumables like this, items like this, you need a petty cash account, basically. You need to have a kitty. And I know you can... you know, I mean, to me, the solution would be to put this person, the letter writer, and one other person in charge of the kitty. They set up a revolute. Everybody revolutes them. You can have a joint revolute, I think, between two of you. And then they will buy whatever is necessary. But everybody has to contribute whatever it is, 30, 40, 50 quid a week or a month or whatever, into the revolute account.
But then what you're doing you're giving somebody the responsibility for being the kind of the
shopper.
Acquisitions manager for the house.
I would way prefer that than to be having my head melted by the fact that my toilet roll is in my bedroom and what the hell is he using and what's going on in the bathroom when I'm not there and he's there. So I couldn't
be doing that. I have PTSD about some of those rooms I was in.
Do you know, I have a friend, Orla, hello Orla, who lives in Prague, and she was putting on her Instagram the other day, in Prague if you go into a public toilet, you have to take your allocation of toilet roll on the way in. Because she forgot and had exactly that situation recently. You have to take your allocation toilet roll going into the...
So how much do they give you?
I think you can take it. I think it's a self-service.
Okay. Because, you know, sometimes that might vary.
Depending on global warming.
It's like, you know, stop using the paper.
Women don't do that generally when they're out and about.
Okay. Depends on the place, though.
Huh?
Yeah, you're talking about doing a number two.
Doing a number two,
Would you not have in, like in Dublin, I have a mental map of nice places to go for a poo in case I need to. There are some lovely places to go, some terrible places, vast majority horrendous.
Women generally don't. They'll be like, no, I can sort that out when I go home.
Okay.
I'll tell you,
a Shelburne Hotel, quality poo.
Absolutely.
The Shelburne Hotel on exchange with also a good place for a quick pop-in.
It's
under construction,
But you see, then somebody has to go in after. You know, nobody wants to use a public toilet where somebody's had a poo in it beforehand.
I tell you. You don't want to be... I just came back from...
Go on, tell me.
I just came back from Morocco where on the trains, the toilets are basically a hole over the track. I was like, what in God's name is going on
here? You're pooing straight out of the track.
I didn't do anything of the sort, but one could one wanted to. Yeah. Crazy.
I thought you had stomach issues on your way. I bet you did.
I'm telling on you now. Yeah. Apologies to Morocco.
Yeah.
Racist.
The big turd on the track.
Yeah. Tell them to put a streak of Nutella along the side of the roll. I'd be very surprised if you'd use that.
Oh, that's just terrible.
Let him walk in, find you licking it.
If you can turn a blind eye, it'd be incredible to see what he can turn a blind eye to.
Yeah.
Some people don't care.
Only thing they have to sit down and talk to them, and then get rid of them.
Yeah, see, I just don't know if the kitty works. The kitty just seems like another administration thing. It seems to me with the kitty, somebody will just go, I'm not doing that. You know, I've already.
Yeah, but you have to do that. If you're using the toilet roll, it's not just the toilet roll. The toilet roll is the sharp end of the wedge. It's like the washing up liquid.
Soap.
It's the soap for the bathroom. It's the clothes, you know, if you're washing your clothes, it's that stuff. It's everything like that, that you only need to buy maybe once a month or once every 6 weeks. But he has to be able to contribute to that. I mean, if he's using it, he contributes. And if he's in the house, he has to contribute. If he chooses not to use it, that's his own. But I would say that's part and parcel of the whole thing.
I think there is, and I'm speaking from personal experience and personal blame here. There's definitely a time between when you leave your mammy's house and when you grow up to be a fully functioning, autonomous adult where you're in this between bit where you kind of, you go, oh, I don't care about that. And he's just that kind of, at that stupid age, the kind of student stupid age where he's not, he's a girl, not yet a woman.
I don't care about that, but I think you go through the, oh, somebody actually has to buy that. It doesn't just automatically
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
It's like that thing on the internet. You know the thing on the internet where the woman comes in and she's really exasperated about
because nobody changes the toilet roll.
And then the guy who lives there goes, oh, stop freaking out now. I'll show you the magic trick that I found is if you put all of your laundry in this laundry magic basket,
it all comes back. Apparently in South Africa they do that too.
You have to take the toilet roll on the way.
You take the toilet roll in advance. I used to live with a guy who used to go mad about the house being dirty for ages. He pawned me and the other two housemates against each other. Once we'd copped that it was him, we started to leave all his stuff and not touch it. After about a month, he came home and went mad at the three of us. When we told him it was all his stuff, he flew off the handle and started thrashing around in the kitchen. Sitting there with a beer watching him clean gave the three of us such joy. That's probably
that does you know, that doesn't sound that's like a lot my of hassle ideal.
To have to go
like,
to.
And they all lived happily ever after. Like, yeah.
They're all great friends now. Yeah, he was best man at the wedding. I've been going out with my new boyfriend for about 6 months. Everything is going well. However, there's one thing I am struggling to deal with. He maintains an exceptionally hairy back, chest and groin area. A real thick pile carpet situation. I've tried to maintain off the cuff, mention off the cuff, how many celebrities shave or or get laser to deal with this. But he always laughs it off and makes a joke about it. But I don't like it at all. Sometimes it feels like I'm in a sex scene in Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Last week in bed, he started plaiting his chest hair while we were chatting. That was the straw that might break the camel's back. How can I get him to become less hairy? Or can I bring myself to accept it somehow? We'll pass you over to Barbara, who's an aficionado of the hairy chest. That description has probably driven you wild with desire now.
No, not the plaiting bit.
No, that's
no,
true.
No, not the plaiting bit. Yeah. I mean, I would be partial to a little bit of a hairy chest, but not personally. I never went for the kind of gorilla look or, you know, does she mention back? Yeah.
That's probably shoulders as well.
Yeah, that's a bit kind of, problem. Having said that, if I discovered... Did you watch that thing on Netflix, The Perfect Couple?
Yes.
No, yeah. Your man in that who plays the husband.
The dope-smoking husband.
Yeah. I thought he was very cool.
Liv Schreider.
If he had hairy back, I wouldn't mind.
Yeah, okay. There you go. I don't know. We can just Google that.
Random people.
Does Liv Schreider have a hairy back? If anyone knows.
Yeah, let me know.
But,
so it depends. But like, you know, we've said on this slot before many times, like the bottom line here is that you can't decide or make your partner change something about their physicality just because it doesn't suit you.
Yeah.
You can certainly voice your opinion and say, you know, I'm not totally gone on your hairy back. I think you're well within your rights to say, I'm not really that keen on you plaiting the chest hair while we're watching the telly or having a chat or whatever it was that she said they were doing. But other than that, that's all you can do. So if he's not willing to go, well, okay, if you don't like it, I will shave my back. Or here is a razor, would you shave my back? Or if he's not willing to do that, well, then, you know, you have to decide, is this a deal breaker or not?
Yeah.
Because you can't force them. And you shouldn't force them. But you can certainly express your opinion. But that's all you can do. So I would suggest you have to kind of get over it or else...
Dump
him.
Yeah.
Let's dump him. Yeah. What do you think, Mister?
That is basically what I was going to say. The same thing. Yeah.
We're actually on the same page.
I was going to cut to the chase and say, it seems to me that the honeymoon period is over and she's already seeing the signs of a, you know, you start picking somebody apart after just 6 months, curtains are closing on that relationship.
Great. It's not great.
I'm not like, and you know, it is. It seems to me what she's doing is she's described her preference, her aesthetic preference in a man, and the man that she's seeing looks nothing like that. So it's kind of like, you know,
duh,
you're with the wrong person, babe.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
And she's referring to him as somebody from the Dawn of Planet of the Apes. That's a bit
cruel, isn't it? Yeah.
That's a bit harsh.
Yeah.
So I think you're right, Declan. I think the show is over here. The show is over. Jog on.
Sorry, darling. Yeah. I've been dating. Okay, this may be similar territory. I've been dating a guy for the past month. Things have been going well. He's nice. I'm attracted to him. We have fun together. The catch is that he lives in Kerry and I'm in Kildare. So we only see each other once a week, if not a bit longer. Because of this, a lot of our communication is by message, as we can't see each other as often as we'd like. He's been keen from the start, which has been reassuring. But lately, I've noticed a dip in his level of communication. Rationally, I think this is because we're both got busy jobs and lots on at the minute. But I recently went on Hinge and saw that he has changed one of his photos on the app, which naturally has me worried. I'm trying to calm and not jump to conclusions. I'm also trying to tell myself that I barely know this guy and shouldn't be bothered by this, which has me asking the question, do I like him or the idea of him? Am I so desperate that for the ideal relationship that I'm projecting my desires for that onto this man? What do you think? What was she doing on Hinge?
Well, I think she went on to Hinge because she had an inkling that she wanted to see what he was doing on Hinge.
Yeah.
And she saw that he'd updated a picture. You know, if you're acting like Hinge is your Instagram or your Facebook, you know, that's
a lot. Hinge was a good name for a dating app. Hinge.
I know. Yeah. DIY, I'd say.
Or do you remember Hinge and Bracket?
Yeah.
Hinge.
Like they were two owl ones.
It just sounds painful.
It just sounds kind of wincy like.
Yeah. But imagine.
Anyway,
it, like,
carry on.
How
sorry.
Did you meet your father?
Hinge,
I met him on Hinge.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
and he's still, he's still unhinged if you ask me.
Boom, boom. Yeah. I mean, like,
I think this is a scenario where the woman's answered her own question.
Yeah.
But it also, there is a touch of the overthinking going on here as well.
Yeah.
Personally, I think that most people who engage with a long distance relationship find that the mechanics of it, the actual logistics of it, unworkable quite quickly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It is hard.
I had a long distance relationship for over a year.
Yeah. Great. But I mean,
it can work.
It can work. Of course it can work.
There's some great advantages to it.
Were you
together before that, before it became long distance? Sorry.
Yeah, that's
just
what I was going to say.
Same thing.
Sorry, what?
Were you together in the same vicinity as the other for a while and then it became long distance for you?
No, it started long distance.
Oh, this was on Hinge then that you.
What? Jesus, Hinge wasn't around.
I knew you were
back
on
in
Hinge.
The Stone Age. Yeah,
it was on Old Hinge.
No.
Stonehenge.
No. I agree with you. I think this is overthinking. And the gas part of it is that they've been going out for a month and they only see each other once a week. So she's seen him 3 to 4 times. Like he's probably keeping his options open.
She's saying, am I into him or am I into the idea of him? She's asking herself, like any sane person would, as they go into a relationship that remotely, that becomes even, you know, incidentally difficult. Do I really want to bother with this? And that's what she's doing. And that's a totally rational thought. Should I be bothering? This seems like a bit of a pain.
It's early doors to be having that kind of thought. Should you not be just kind of literally enjoying the ride for a while before you start thinking of am I, is this for the long haul or am I into him or the idea of him? Like she does seem to be overthinking it.
I think there's a lot of pressure on people to be in a relationship. So you're off kind of like your pals are all on Hinge or whatever they're, you know, whatever app Grindr trying to find the one or even part of the one and they're like doing that.
Part of the one? Is that a whole other app?
Just the bit you're interested in.
There are other apps available.
Anyway.
But because there's so much social pressure to not be single and, you know, to be in a relationship that you kind of go...
But yet, isn't it the modern thing nowadays that you kind of are going out for ages before you're actually going out?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not actually committed or whatever it is.
So
maybe he's just not exclusive yet. So therefore he's messing around with his pictures on Hinge just in case. Well, I think she should relax. Just, you know... Go along for the ride for another while and see.
The warning sign is always if communication
dips off. At least he doesn't have a
hairy back. Oh, God. Yeah.
No, well, the good news is if she likes a hairy man, one will be becoming available in the not too distant future. Barbara and Declan, thank you both very much.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.